Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it is that time again. It's Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. James Bostic here with Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, made possible by the good folks at Blog Talk Radio. They put the blah, blah, blah in the Blog Talk. It's good to be here. We do this live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We have a, I assume this is going out over the air. We have a recorded version of the program that we do for Mojo 50 Radio, Mojo50.com. That's where you go, and they have it set up. It's really cool. You can just kind of like scroll through the programming. ACP is on at Mojo at 4 p.m. Sundays Eastern Time, and you can go through there and you can listen to the programs as they are live. Excuse me. Or you can go back and you can listen to them in their archive form and just scroll back down through the thread. Mojo50.com. Well. What shall we talk about? Well, according to the teaser, it's going to be who falls first, if anyone. Jim Comey. Jim Clapper. John Brennan. Rod Rosenstein, we're talking about tonight. Right now, as it looks, things are moving in the direction of quite possibly, and I've always wondered, because with an operation as involved, as convoluted, as circuitous as this attempted coup has been, you got to have heads in key places. And having them in the Justice Department and the State Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and the CIA, well, you know, you're covering a lot of bases, and it's not a bad way of doing business if you are, number one, careful, and number two, if your candidate wins. But we run into a problem, because the people that were responsible for staging this attempted coup d'etat, well, their girl didn't finish. She didn't make it. Now, if she'd have made it, everything would have probably been pretty cool. Hillary Clinton's not going to investigate herself. and she's sure not going to investigate the cats that put her in office. However, regrettably, that's not how this turned out. The Attorney General, William Barr, has said a couple of different things on this. And we know, number one, from his testimony in the Finance Committee. He was in the Finance Committee when they asked him about this stuff. And that's what tells you, hey, man, these cats are worried. He was in there to talk about matters monetary. Issues fiduciary concerning the budget and the money side of running the Justice Department. But he gets into a 5-minute back and forth with Senator Jeanne Shaheen, who wants to know, you know, number one, what's this we hear about you getting together a team to nose around with how these guys did things? Bill, what's up with that? And you're not saying that they spied on these guys, are you? Because that's kind of like a trigger word for us. It makes us a little antsy. We don't like it at all. And he goes, well, yeah, actually, I do think that spying occurred in the campaign. Now, what I don't know and what I'm going to find out, Senator Shaheen, is whether or not the spying that took place had a justifiable predication. In other words, was it legitimate? Because there are certain rules of engagement concerning investigations that the FBI does. And we're going to get into that. But right now, we're looking at three investigations that have been mobilized and have been in the works for a while. Number one, the Office of the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, for the Justice Department, has been looking into this. And he issued a report back in February. And, you know, everybody was all on bated breath for it. We got it, and everything came out. And then we waited with bated breath for the Mueller report. And the Mueller report said what we all knew it was going to say, and they know they're there. Nothing happened. We can't even make it look like something happened because there just wasn't enough there to do anything with it, to massage it. We just couldn't squeeze it out for you. Sorry. Thus, Act One. So then the Mueller report is released. And with the release of the Mueller report, again, we see nothing's there, but that doesn't satisfy the left. Basically, what's happened here is that 440-some-odd page report, more than 96% of which is unredacted, which hasn't been read by any damn Democrat in Washington, D.C. in a position of power because they're a bunch of frickin' mutton heads, is basically a 53-foot-long tractor trailer filled with horse dung. Think about somebody driving up to your house. You're expecting them to deliver the goods, whatever those goods are, that's going to make you happy, that's going to quench your thirst for vengeance, that's going to satiate your hatred. And instead of delivering your enemy's head on a stick, they pull up with a 53-foot-long tractor trailer full of horse manure, and they dump it in your yard. Well, any of the rest of us would be incensed. We would be outraged. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff especially, and certainly Jerry the Jawbone Nadler, Wimpy Nadler. Jerry, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for impeachment today, Nadler. dives into it head first and is swimming around because he is convinced with all that horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Got to be. Oh, Jerry. Jerry, 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 you big, fat, empty tub of goo. You empty-headed tub of goo. You fat-footed, Jabba the Hutt-looking clown. God love you. God love you. So they decide in their wisdom, Jerry the Jawbone Nadler decides to hold the Attorney General in contempt of Congress because he will not break the laws that they want him to. And we've gone all through that, and you guys know the deal there. But now we've moved into Act Two, and this thing is starting to unravel. And all these whispers and all this really, really good reporting that's been done out there by people like Sarah Carter, by people like John Solomon, some of the folks over at Fox. Greg Jarrett wrote a book about this, and it's awesome. We see, hey, it's not just whispers. It's not just supposition. It's not just speculation. This is, by God, how it happened. So now that all this stuff is coming out, we're going to see just exactly who the decision makers were, the actors, the coordinators, the heads of the various intelligence services and their minions who were responsible for helping to try and maintain and feed this coup d'etat. Excuse me. Rigging the Democrat election, rigging the Democrat primary was easy. And they thought they had it knocked when it came down to the presidential election. They were wrong. But even in light of that, they soldiered on. Well, we can't stop him from taking office, but we can try and do everything we can to smear the guy and have him removed from office. And one of the principals involved in that was James Comey. And I would imagine that now, with everything that's happening, that James Comey's planet is getting noticeably warmer. And most likely it is due to the emissions of Attorney General William Barr. As I have said, Barr has made it plain. Hold on a second. I got to grab one of my nitroglycerin tablets. No, I don't have a problem with my heart. I just like blowing things up, and I'm going to hit something here at the break. Attorney General Barr has made it plain that he intends to examine very carefully how and why James Comey, as FBI director, decided that the Bureau should investigate two presidential campaigns and if, in doing so, whether or not any procedural rules or laws were broken. So in light of this, and incidentally, I got a feeling that Attorney General William Barr is a guy that gets to the bottom of things. So in light of this, the fired former FBI director apparently has decided that photos of him on Twitter standing amid tall trees and in the middle of empty country roads, acting all metaphysical, is probably no longer a sufficient strategy. No, Comey has realized probably too late that he has to try and counter more directly the narrative that's being set by the unsparing Attorney General, whose words in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee last week landed in the Trump opposition world like holy water on Linda Blair. And the shrieking heads haven't stopped. They haven't stopped spinning since then. So what we have seen is James Comey getting real busy here as of late? He wrote this really kind of weird op-ed piece in the New York Times. And then a Times reporter with whom Comey has cooperated in the past, and by cooperated, we mean leaked sensitive information. This guy wrote a news article exposing one of the early on controversial investigative techniques against the Trump campaign. And what they were doing is they were talking about this in an attempt to try and get out in front of what's coming and excuse it. And then he went on a town hall. I think it was CNN. He did a town hall. So in the op-ed piece, he goes into his usual St. James thing and starts pontificating and judging, speculating on the morality of other people. This kind of Pope on the Potomac working his beads, talking about these people, but really he's more like an unraveling Captain Queeg rolling his ball bearings. The Caine Mutiny, really good movie. You need to check that out. James Comey says that the president is amoral. He declared the attorney general to be formidable, but lacking inner strength, unlike the reference, I think is pretty clear, Comey himself. Amoral leaders, James Comey said, referring to the president, have a way of revealing the character of those around them, he wrote, without a hint of irony or self-awareness, apparently. Those people that the FBI director assembled around him, Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, they probably rue the day that they ever met him because they're either fired or disgraced or forced to resign and demoted, you know, because of all these appalling behaviors within themselves that James Comey found easy to manipulate in order to advance his decisions. Comey's going to claim, and we will hear, by the book a lot. They don't even know what the book is. I don't even know what book they're talking about. They don't even know. They're just saying it. Because saying we went by the book means that we adhered to every rule and procedure and that we are blameless in this matter. We did nothing wrong. We were only following orders. So he's going to claim that everything that the FBI did was straight on the up and up. But after these investigations from the Department of Justice, I said the Office of the Inspector General has another report coming out. Also in Little Rock, Arkansas, United States Attorney John Huber has been working diligently for months, going way back into the winter, concerning Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, along with Attorney General Barr's promised examination, and we'll get into that in a minute. It's pretty obvious that Comey's mishandling of the FBI and various legal processes is going to be brought to the full light of day. Now, ideally, Attorney General Barr's examination will take information that addresses three primary streams. The first of these is going to be whether the investigations into both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were adequately predicated. And what that means is that Barr is going to look and examine to see whether there was sufficient justification under the existing guidelines for the FBI to have started an investigation to begin with. Now, the Mueller report's conclusions make this a fair question for the counterintelligence investigation of the Trump campaign. Comey's own pronouncement, not the Attorney General's, but James Comey as the director of the FBI, that the Clinton email case was unprosecutable makes that a fair question for the investigation as well. The second stream is going to be where the Comey's team obeyed the long-established investigative guidelines while conducting the investigations, and specifically, if there was sufficient truthful justification to lawfully conduct electronic surveillance of an American citizen. What are they talking about? Well, they're talking about whether, when they presented the evidence necessary for the FISA warrant, as to whether the FBI, as its presenter, was being honest and forthright, and it was justified. The third stream is going to be an examination of whether or not James Comey was unduly influenced by political agendas emanating from the previous White House and its director of national intelligence, which is Admiral James Clapper, CIA director, Comrade Johnny Red Brennan, and Attorney General Loretta Lynch. This, above all, these things are the ones that are causing the people in Washington to become very agitated. The early indicators are that troubling behaviors may have occurred in all three of these scenarios. Attorney General Barr is going to want to zero in on a particular area of concern, and that is the use by the FBI of confidential human resources, whether they were the ones of the FBI's own stable, I guess, or the ones that were offered up by the then CIA director, John Brennan. So without getting too far into the weeds on this, it's important to understand that FBI counterintelligence investigations generally proceed in a sequence from what is called a preliminary investigation to a full investigation. Now, the move from one to the other, from primary or preliminary to full investigation, requires substantial information, otherwise known as predication, indicating that the targets involved acted as agents of foreign powers. I'm kind of glad, in a way, that it comes down to this. I'm glad that they're looking at Comey first, because that's going to give me a chance to get warmed up for when they go after John Brennan. I hate that son of a... Anyway, I have a little bit of a long clip, but you know my philosophy on that. We won't get into it. This is Senator John Ratcliffe talking about Jim Comey. No, Representative John Ratcliffe, I think from Texas, talking about the possibility of James Comey being indicted. I think he's talking with Maria Bartiromo here. Take it away, Johnny.
Welcome back. A vote on a contempt resolution against Attorney General William Barr is looming on the House floor this morning after the Democrat-led House Judiciary Committee voted last week to hold him in contempt of Congress for failing to turn over the full, unredacted Mueller report and its underlying evidence. Our next guest was in that chamber on Wednesday when it all went down. Texas Republican Congressman John Ratcliffe sits on the House Judiciary, Intel, and Homeland Security Committees. He's also a former federal prosecutor. And Congressman, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You bet, Maria. Good to be here.
So what happened when Jerry Nadler, chairman of your committee, went for a contempt of Congress vote for William Barr? Can you tell us about what that day was?
Well, Maria, there have been plenty of days I've been embarrassed to be a member of Congress based on the conduct of some of its members, but none more so than this week. And think about it. The once esteemed House Judiciary Committee marked up a resolution to hold the Attorney General of the United States in contempt for his refusal to commit a crime. Bill Barr, who had no obligation to turn over a single word or comma of Bob Mueller's report, turned over as much as was permitted by law, and that wasn't enough for the Democrats. And they stood there and accused him of lying about what Bob Mueller really meant before they've heard a word from Bob Mueller about what he really meant. It was all staged. It was all scripted. It was all part of the Democratic effort to create the illusion of a cover-up. Remember, Maria, that these are the Democrats that promised evidence of collusion that didn't exist, that promised that Bob Mueller was going to find Donald Trump guilty of crimes that he didn't commit. And when that didn't happen, they either had to admit they were wrong to the American people or they had to find a villain. And unfortunately, they've made Bill Barr that villain. And they'll do anything they can to try and damage his reputation before he delivers the message that he intends to deliver, because he's promised to get to the bottom of the very suspect origins of this Russia-Trump collusion conspiracy investigation.
So is that what this is about? They don't want him to do an investigation that he said he would be doing? I mean, there in and of itself is obstruction.
Yeah, Maria, they're scared to death. It's why when you talk about, you know, accountability, one of the things that they fear is Michael Horowitz's report coming out. But the other thing that they fear is an attorney general who has been unapologetic, unabashed, and unrelenting in his pledge to get to the bottom of this Trump-Russia collusion narrative that doesn't make any sense. We know now, because we've waited on Bob Mueller's report, we know that there was no collusion. But the predicate behind looking for that evidence of collusion is quickly unraveling, and the Democrats are in a panic about it.
You know, it's incredible to me that they are so obviously upset and afraid for what comes out. But it's incredible that you've got people like Jim Comey going on TV shows and saying that he's proud of the FBI and how it handled the Russia probe.
The FBI doesn't spy to begin with. The FBI investigates. The FBI, in my view, took very reasonable steps, careful steps to try and understand, is that true? And I can't believe Republicans would have wanted it any other way. And we acted in a responsible, limited, and constrained way. I'm proud of the way we conducted ourselves.
Wow. That was former FBI Director Jim Comey just days ago, a few days ago. I'm back with Republican Congressman John Ratcliffe of Texas. And Congressman, you just heard Jim Comey. Can you explain this?
Well, my former colleague, Trey Gowdy, likes to refer to him as St. Jim. I liken Jim Comey more to an Avenger superhero. He's always the hero of every story, saving America time and time again. Gosh, you know, as I listen to that, Jim Comey is proud and wouldn't change a thing, really. He's proud that he put Peter Strzok in charge of investigating Donald Trump, the same Peter Strzok who, while he was investigating Donald Trump, promised to F him and to stop him. He's proud of his hand-picked deputy director, Andy McCabe, who lied under oath, lied to the inspector general, and has been criminally referred for that. And, of course, we know Jim's proud of himself, but the inspector general found him insubordinate, and many of us believe that he either is or should be under investigation for violating the Espionage Act, for recording his conversations with President Trump in the Oval Office, and then intentionally leaking classified information to start this investigation. So, you know, Maria, as you know, as a former federal prosecutor, I've worked with hundreds of FBI agents, and over the last 2 years, they haven't used the word proud once to describe Jim Comey. They use words like embarrassed and ashamed. And every time he sends out a tweet or pens an op-ed or conducts another town hall, he just tarnishes the brand of the premier law enforcement agency in the world that he unfortunately once headed.
So are we going to be able to trust the FBI again? Will there be accountability? I want to ask you about accountability for Jim Comey, Peter Strzok, and also John Brennan, because I'm being told that the director of the CIA is responsible for all counterintelligence operations. That would be John Brennan. Are we going to see accountability for all of the above?
Well, here's what we know about John Brennan. In August of 2016, he briefed then Democratic Senator Harry Reid on the Steele dossier. Brenner later testified under oath that the Steele dossier played no part of the intelligence community assessment. That was a demonstrably false statement, and there are classified documents that I believe prove that. I believe that there will be accountability on all fronts, Maria, for a couple of reasons. You know, there's an old saying that justice delayed is justice denied, but I think there's a Mueller exception to that rule. We've had to wait 2 years on Bob Mueller, but now that his report is out and there is no collusion, we can move forward. And within a month, the Inspector General's report will come out. And notwithstanding what Jim Comey says, I think that the Inspector General looking at leaking and looking at lying and looking at FISA abuse is going to say that Jim Comey's FBI didn't perform as the law required. But the biggest movement on the board in that regard, again, is the Attorney General, Bill Barr, who has pledged to get to the bottom of a Trump-Russia conspiracy that doesn't make any sense. And the predicate for it and those that were not telling the truth. Donald Trump was telling the truth when he said there was no collusion.
Yeah.
And Jim Comey and folks in our law enforcement community and John Brennan and Jim Clapper and folks in the media, none of them were telling the truth.
Right.
And I think there'll be accountability through an attorney general that has promised to get to the bottom
of
it.
Real quick before you go.
Great. Did you hear they mention John Brennan? See, they have to because, see, when it comes to intelligence and counterintelligence operations, the FBI handles any kind of domestic monkey business. And then the CIA and the other various intelligence agencies handle what goes on outside the boundaries of the United States. So, you know, when they approached mid-level Trump campaigner George Papadopoulos in Spain and tried to bribe him, he was set up by assets that were provided to the FBI, who again is running the operation. These assets were on loan to the FBI from the CIA, which means Johnny Red gave the thumbs up on that. Down at the bottom of the hour, we will be back with more of A Conservative's Perspective right after this. Hold on, let me, you know, I do this all the time. Blah, 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 blah. This, after this is what I meant. We will be right back after this.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. You know what? Here's the deal. Just like I was, while the music was playing there, I was talking with a great Facebook friend, Gary Benford, who is due to come back on the show here shortly. Gary's the man behind Nation Savers 2018, and we need to check up with him to see what's up. He was complimenting me on my music choice. We dig a lot of the same things. Awesome dude. Yes, Gary. I remember those album covers. I've got them, dude. I've got them. So welcome back. James Bosgear, Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you go. You can check us out there. And then we have links liberally sprinkled all over the World Wide Web of Danger and Intrigue. We can also find the show in its recorded incarnation at Mojo 50 Radio, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Great slot, classic news and commentary slot for a classic news and commentary show. Okay, Comey's got the heat on, and he's shaking. It is simply a question of time. And to further this, to further prove my point, I wish I had the audio. I heard it earlier today, but and I don't see it anywhere in here. Son of a Rod Rosenstein was talking. Rod Rosenstein was talking. He was at a press conference, and it's this war of words, according to El Rushbo, Rush Limbaugh. This war of words between Rod Rosenstein and former FBI Director James Comey. Rosenstein, as we all know, officially stepped down last week. He was going to leave a lot earlier, but Attorney General Barr said, no, we're going to get this cleared up. Then I'll let you go. And you can tell that that was probably the conversation that took place because Rod Rosenstein was standing behind and to the left of Attorney General Barr when he broke the news to the Democrats that their date had let them down. So they go into this, and at some event in Baltimore, Rod Rosenstein was there, and he got to talking about Jim Comey. And he said, you know, I don't blame the former director for being angry. I would be too if I were in his shoes. But now the former director seems to be acting as a partisan pundit, selling books and earning speaking fees while speculating about the strength of my character and the fate of my immortal soul. I kid you not. That is disappointing. Speculating about souls is not a job for police and prosecutors. So why would Rosenstein do this? Well, there are a lot of reasons why. First is ego. He's probably very resentful that Comey's been out there painting himself as this stalwart white knight and speaking so condescendingly of his peers. These are his fellow conspirators. And let's not talk about Rod Rosenstein being a great guy. He was the dude that said he would wear a wire during time spent with the president to record conversations in the hopes of invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from office for being of unsound mind. But Rod Rosenstein is also Rod Rosenstein is also a veteran swamp dweller. And so he's doing this and speaking disparagingly of Comey in this backhanded way because he knows which way the political wind is blowing, and that's away from Donald Trump and towards the president's mendacious antagonists. After a couple of adjectives like that, you need to take a drink. One of the major nodes of that whole deal was Comey. Now, to compound, and we didn't talk about this in the first half, but to compound Comey's trouble, William Barr has appointed an attorney general, John Durham. He's a Connecticut, I think, attorney general, is going to be looking into this. Yeah, Connecticut. So he's going to start looking into the origins of these flawed FISA warrants, which got this whole collusion thing started, which led to the appointment of a special counsel who spent millions, over $30 million at the last count, to find out what? Nothing. I'm not going to find out a damn thing because nothing happened. It's fun while it lasted, though. So it sounds like Rosenstein, there we go, doesn't like to be inconvenienced with chasing rabbit holes from partisans looking to get Trump over at Comey's FBI, who failed to make the case that they claimed they could. And now they're out on their ears as a result of it. So you've got John Durham, Connecticut Attorney General, there in Connecticut is on the job. You have, again, the Inspector General's report in the works, which is probably going to identify folks in the media, because as we had colluders in government and in the intelligence community, likewise did we have colluders to this coup in the media and Fusion GPS. So what else is a swamp thing like Rod Rosenstein going to do other than swat back at James Comey? And it's safe to do that now, and it's probably not only safe, more than likely it's probably an imperative that he do. Swamp things, it's one of the reasons they survive. Swamp things always pick the strong horse. And Rosenstein knows who the strong horse is now. There's going to be a lot more of this type of stuff going on. This type of backbiting. This type of knife twisting. As the president's approval rating continues to rise, and it's gonna. He's made some missteps. He's really been stymied hard on this immigration thing. I don't know what he could have done to fight harder, but I'm sure there's got to be something. This is a failing. But that doesn't mean I'm not anti-Trump. I still love the guy. I still believe he can get it done. I'm still in there pulling for him. And I said his approval rating is rising. And as this happens, then naturally the prospects of his reelection grow even brighter. So what's happening here? Well, Trump and the Trump administration, through fundamentally the man's sheer force of will, is expanding. His swamp antagonists and their community is contracting and disintegrating. Because if it comes down to it and people start getting indicted, given the seriousness of their crimes, and I can't imagine why we cannot call it other than what it is, treason, America, treason. It's a heavy word, and it gets bandied about a lot. And people are called traitors for one thing or this or that. And usually what it is it's folks of one ideology throwing that word out to smear and to isolate and to polarize a political adversary. But treason, America, is not a word that can be substituted here. I don't know what else you call it. Sedition, perhaps. I did a show about a year or so ago on the definition of treason. We may revisit that on Thursday night's program. But these people have been actively working to overthrow a democratically elected president. Donald Trump didn't cheat, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Donald Trump didn't scheme. Donald Trump didn't collude. Donald Trump didn't obstruct. Donald Trump won. And you know how he won? He won because 63 million Americans said, just a damn minute. Hold the phone right here. We're not going to go any further than where we are in this direction with this nation. It stops. It stops on this day, Election Day 2016. It stopped, slowed down, and we've begun the course correction. Democrats can't stand it. They hate it. They hate it like poison. They hate it like a root canal. And they are so blinded in their hatred of Donald Trump and indirectly you and I, because that's what it comes down to. Who does Donald Trump represent? Us. Yeah, us. So who do they hate? They hate us. Before Donald Trump ran for president, nobody hated him. Everybody loved the guy. Rock stars, black people, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. They all loved him. They thought he was a wonderful cat. Athletes loved him, posed for pictures with him. They ate him up. And then he ran for president, and they figured out that he was a real American and that he loved his country and he wanted to restore it. He wanted to what? Make America great again. And then all of a sudden, he filled them with fear and loathing. And they came to hate Donald Trump. Just as they hate you and I. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see, the president, in many ways, is a reflection of us. And we, likewise, you know, we are a reflection of him. We're mirror images of one another. What he wants for the country is what we want for the country. That's why we voted for him. He knew. Because he doesn't do stuff like this lightly. This is not an impetuous or impulsive man. He knew when the time was right, if he stood up, we would stand with him. And we did, and it all worked, much to the consternation of the Democrats. Again, what you have to remember, and I keep saying this, people sometimes lose sight of it, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. We've got to bear in mind that Donald Trump, before he was president of the United States, was the most successful reality television producer in the history of the medium. What does that mean? That means the guy knows how to run a show. That means he understands a storyline and how to manipulate it. And it's been perfect the whole time. He's been an underdog. Everybody's hated him. The crowds loved him. The media hated him. He packs in stadiums. Hollywood hates him. their box office numbers drop off to nothing. CNN, the news, the establishment media hates him. He laughs at them, calls them fake news, circumvents them by using Twitter, who can't ban the president of the United States because that ain't going to look good at all. So he gets to clean their clock on their platform 24 hours a day, and they got to sit there and take it. The newspapers hate him. Nobody cares. So, then there's trouble. It's a hard-fought fight. The prize is there. He achieves. He attains. But meanwhile, the villains slink away to continue their scheming, to continue their conspiring. And they strike back. The president remains stalwart. Why? Because he hasn't done anything wrong. His people believe him. They stand with him. 2 years, a gazillion dollars, 19 Democrat lawyers, all of which were Hillary Clinton donors. These guys laid awake at night in a cold sweat, touching themselves, praying for an opportunity to find dirt on Donald Trump. They worked assiduously at it. And they failed spectacularly. And now, the time is coming, and events are being moved into place, I think. These chickens are going to come home to roost. And they're going to roost in the Democrat rafters. And there's not going to be anything that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Jerry the Jawbone Nadler and Adam Schiff your pants. There's not going to be anything these guys can do to stop the roosting chickens from pooping all over them. There will be no shade. There'll be no shade. There'll be no shelter from it. There'll be nothing to shield themselves from it. Thank you, Penelope. She says we have 90 seconds, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. Tuesdays, Thursdays live right here, Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Mojo 50 Radio. We got a number of places on Facebook you can check out. Talk America Radio, West Virginia. Talk America Radio, Texas. A Conservative's Perspective podcast page and the original page. And also... Thanks, honey. Cowboy Logic Restoring America Forum. I'm an admin there, along with good friends Don New and Donna Fiducia. Check all those places out. Hit the like button. We will be glad to see you. You'll be glad you did. Thank you for the opportunity to spend a little time with you. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you on Thursday when we take a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. You guys take care.